Ho, ho, ho! In this Yuletide time, back in Christmas Eve 1983, at an end-to-end derby against Brentford was settled in favour of the Dons, with a goal by Alan Cork in the last few minutes, making the final score 4-3. Dave Harry Bassett said, "Halfway through the campaign, we're well placed to shot a promotion in the new year." Spoiler, we went up. We're the same old Wombles. We're back. In actual fact, we are more than back. We are so back. It's unbelievable. As usual, I'm joined by the newly promoted producer, Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. You all right?
Good evening.
Thank you very much.
I'm ready to produce.
And back from, what was it, a 2 year sabbatical? We let him go for a couple of years. It is Tall Mark. Welcome back, my friend. How you doing?
Good evening. Good evening. Was it a sabbatical? Yes, I suppose so. Did you let me go? No, it was self-imposed. It was less than 2 years, but never mind. What
No,
what's a few months between friends?
we let you go. We let you go.
Thanks.
I thought it was a
Yeah.
year. Someone was telling me it was
245.
2 years.
It's about 18 months ish. But
Oh, okay.
actually, to be completely clear and upfront,
Yep.
to everybody, well, I know you guys know this, but the three listeners that we have, a couple of which mentioned to me that they'd heard that I was coming back and then I missed out last week, due to wanting to preserve my marriage at the time. I made a call basically that to be on the Don's Trust Warden, to be open and honest and collegiate as I was when I was there, and to be on the podcast didn't really work because if you want to be on a podcast, you have to feel free, in my opinion, to say what you want in the way you want to say it. Therefore, I thought the sensible thing to do was just, not be involved there and try and do the Don's Trust board stuff as much as I could, as well as I could. Circumstances changed work-wise for me, so I couldn't carry on the board. And the pleasant situation, consequence is the word I'm looking for. The pleasant consequence of that is that I can come back and do the pod with you guys. So yeah,
Oh,
great to be back.
you mean a byproduct of your change in work basically means you've arrived back on the podcast. Unbelievable. We've been waiting and waiting for you to come back
Wow.
and then you just
I've
slighted
been listening
us.
every week, every
Unbelievable.
week, every week, every week, and just occasionally, you two in particular know what you're talking about, but it's taken a while.
No, we've got no idea what we're talking about, Mark. That's why we brought you back.
Thank you.
You know the football things. You could probably name our starting squad, starting team. We haven't got the faintest idea,
Possibly.
to be honest with you.
What? There's 11 players?
I'm
Unbelievable.
just curious. So, because we our podcast, we're more than just the football. We talk about the intricacy of things, which is why we've got so few listeners. But what was it like? What was it like being on the board?
I put something on, it wasn't social media actually, it was LinkedIn, which isn't really social media, it's like business social media. I put a little qu comment on there myself the other day after the AGM saying that it was engaging and rewarding and challenging. And I'll be honest, on occasions it wasn't a lot of fun. But I just wanted to give it a crack and hopefully I did as much as I possibly could do. Without going on a rant straight away, I get the feeling that it doesn't really matter who's on the Don's Trust board. Some people have an opinion about the Don's Trust as an entity, and therefore, if you go onto the board by extension, you are somehow tainted, which frankly I think is utter, insert whatever type of word you want to, utterly incorrect. Because I wasn't anything different on the board than I was normally, and I was always prepared to talk to everybody as I always have been. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was quite collegiate. There were people, most of the people on there I'd never met before and I'd never actually engaged with before, even though we've all been going to games. Most of the people on the board with me there had been going to games for 20 years plus. And they all want what's best for the club. And everyone has their own different opinion about what that actually means. I had my idea as well. I tried to do my best. Doesn't mean I did the best thing. Doesn't mean I did the worst thing. Doesn't mean I'm in any way, something that should be ground in the bottom of someone's shoe, which is kind of how people seem to treat us somehow. And I'm not looking for any kind of, sob story or any type of, tiny violins, so to speak. But I think there's lots of lessons that we could learn. But also, I think that the people that do the duty on the Donald Trust board are there because they think they can make a difference in some way, shape, or form. And good luck to everyone else who's doing it now, frankly.
Yeah.
And I would just ask that they are given the appropriate bandwidth to do so. And if you are someone who has an issue with them, just go and talk to the people face to face. And you'll find that they're very engaging, very friendly, very willing to listen, very willing to learn, and actually want to hear from everybody. Simple as that, really.
Yeah. I always think the manifestos are very tricky because, it's the way you promise things that sometimes you can't do. Because you're part of a group of people, and things are flying, and some of those things are out of your control now. So, and we've spoken about this before. It's an interesting one. Well, I've got one thing though, Mark. We were Emma and I talked about this was that at various the AGM, for instance, and various other meetings, the Don's Trust board sit on the stage as one, and then people bombard that. And it feels like a bit of that them and us. We thought about the idea that maybe people should. The Don's Trust board should be amongst the crowd, on round tables, and so that people there isn't a sort of like, them and us sort of thing. And I felt more that's more about protecting the DTB members, the DTB board, than other people, just so that, people realise that we're all part of the same thing. We're all fans.
Absolutely, that's exactly what we are. My understanding, and I'm not a technology expert whatsoever, producer Adam would tell you, that would give you the lowdown on this one. But my actual understanding is the only reason that we all sat on the top table like that, and we kept on sitting at the top table because we talked about this exact thing in Don Toss board meetings and WhatsApp groups and so on. But the only reason we carried on doing it was because that was the only way that technology-wise you could actually hear properly what we were saying. I don't quite know what the acoustics are, what the level of recording ability is, and so on and so forth. So that might be complete and utter crap, but that's what I was told. And because I don't understand technology, I believe what somebody told me about that. But I think you're right. Frankly, sitting on the top table felt like a bit like being a prized turkey, frankly,
Yeah.
or like, a marrow at a garden fete somewhere in Gloucestershire for everybody to poke and prod and whatever.
And
But there's got to
this
be a better way of those meetings actually engaging it with everybody, because you're quite right. Everybody who's there, however many or however few there are there, the people that bothered to turn up and thank you for all those that I always have done. And I went to plenty of Don's Trust board meetings before I was on the board. They're there because they have an interest in what's going on, and they want to hear what's going on, and they want to listen to people and so on. On occasions, I probably didn't have a very good poker face in terms of expressing with my face what I thought of the way that certain things were said by members, but that's just because I'm a human being. It's another
Yeah,
thing to do being on the board.
but listen, and this is why Mark is back, because no one else amongst us is going to say it was like being a marrow in Gloucestershire. These are the references, friend. This is what we're about. I'm excited. I guess the big question, though, Mark, and I know you'll be able to do this for us. What's the juicy gossip? Come on, what are we hearing? What's the news? What's the news is coming out? What's happening? Transfer
Well, I don't know
wise?
anymore.
Come
I
on.
don't know
Oh
anymore.
no,
So
but you knew
I'm off
up
the Don's
until like
Trust
a
board.
week
I've
ago.
been officially removed from the Don's Trust board WhatsApp group. In fact, that one has been disbanded, and there's probably a new one for other people on there now. We have a separate group, which is just all of us as mates together as fans, and there's no gossip on that at all. So to be honest, there isn't anything else that I know that other people don't know.
Come
Do I have
on,
withdrawal
come
symptoms from it?
on.
Not really. It means I can actually get on with my life.
Look at him.
Ha
He's doing it to the bitter end. He's been faithful to the DTB to the bitter end. I love it, Mark. That's brilliant. We're
I'm not being
gonna.
faithful to anyone, mate. I genuinely don't have anything to tell
No,
you,
no, 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 no. We're
unfortunately.
gonna get you for a drink next time we meet, and then
I'd
we'll see
love
what
to tell you
happens.
that we're about to sign this player, and this player, and release this player, this player, and this player. But as we didn't really get that kind of intimate detail, to be honest, those people that were at the meeting, in between the Don's Trust AGM and the PLC AGM Monday last week, there was a little brief sojourn with little Q&A session with Craig Cope anyway. And apart from being quizzed on whether or not we'd sell Matty Stevens, which he said, obviously, we don't want to and we don't intend to unless we get a stupid offer. We got a stupid offer from Ali at the time. And the wages Ali was being offered were, as has been widely reported, that's not me releasing any confidential information, were astronomical compared to what he was being paid with us. So that was never anything we were going to be able to do anything about as fans or board or anyone.
My sense is that Ali, I mean, I think Matt Stevens is brilliant, obviously, but Ali was a different type of player. I just think he was, and I can't remember how old is Matt Stevens. He's not, because Ali's obviously
25,
quite young.
26 at least, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's like that, 26, 27. So he's, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine him going, to be honest with you. But hey, we always live in fear of January. That's this time of the year. We're always living in fear. Oh, anyhow, so then let's have a chat. Let's chat Chesterfield, which, as far as I can see, are the ultimate bogey team. We have never won at Chesterfield, and I believe we've never scored apart from a phantom. I was reading about this. I'm sure you're all aware, a phantom Wally Downes goal, which smashed the back of the net so hard, bounced out. The ref and the linesman didn't spot it going in and thought
It
it had
didn't
missed.
smash the back of the net. It smashed the stanchion, which is the bit between the goalpost
Yeah.
and the crossbar.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. No, but
It
I
looks like you were
remember.
there.
I was probably writing for Don's Outlook at the time, but yeah, I'm guessing it's about 1984.
But just, oh dear me. So, and obviously I wasn't there. Who was there on Saturday? Was then Mark, were you there?
No. No, I was falling asleep on my sofa and watching Sky Sports and refreshing my BBC phone. The BBC have got loads more new graphics nowadays, which is just, it's lovely if your team's winning 4-0. But if they show you, like we did, that, we haven't had a shot on target into the 91st minute, then it's not lovely at all. And they're so slow that you can read on another social media platform that we've hit the post twice in a minute, and the BBC pick it up about 10 minutes later.
I always get upset because that's not on target, is it? You hit the post, it's
Yeah.
not on target.
Well, of course it's not on target. If it was on
Feels
target, it
pretty
would be a
on target to
goal or
me.
save.
We'll say by the post. Anyhow, the point is, we got nothing from it, and we started slowly. And I think this has been something we've, and obviously, are we missing Omar? We obviously missed Omar hugely in that particular game because I saw we've had two hit the post, and it wasn't like it bounced off one post and onto the other. We hit the post, came back to another player, hit the same post. It's like, what kind of game are you playing there? You've missed the point of the whole game. And then Piggott missed one in the end at the end as well, which I'd say was a great save. But we deserved, I think at the end of it, we deserved something out of the game. And it's just very, very frustrating. Adam, what was your take on it all?
Well, I'm glad I didn't pretend to be in another country and pay a tenner to stream it, which I was considering about midday, and things took a hold that I couldn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we had that kind of sleepy start, you know. So, I mean, I haven't watched it, but I think, well, was it again a bit of a sleepy start? Obviously, we missed Bugle. That was like massive. I mean, it's pretty cool to hit the post like in the way that they did. I mean, I think we should get like triple points for that kind of skill. But, you know, and to be fair, like the Piggott's shot at the end, the goalie's one-handed save. When I saw that, I was like, wow, okay, fair play. But I mean, frustratingly, the fact that we are doing pretty well. They score in the 3rd minute. We have the rest of the game to equalise. And for whatever reason, even with the cool like 4-3-2-1, whatever the setup is, we didn't do it. So I think, I mean, again, they're a good team. I think we've lost points to very good teams, which is frustrating. And I think it will come to bite us a bit. So it's one of those things. We got to kick on.
Yeah, Mark.
But point of order, my friends, I don't think Port Vale were that good. I know Matt and Adam, Matt and Niall were at Port Vale. I was at Port Vale, and the best thing at Port Vale as a DCB rep in the boardroom that day was the food. We played awfully for an hour and then battered them for the last half an hour. They were top of the table at the time. We lost 3-2. We gave them a 2-0 lead. I genuinely, and I missed Grimsby, so I didn't see that game, and I did see Warsaw. Warsaw were decent, but I haven't seen a team this season in the home games, and I've seen also Cheltenham away and Port Vale away. Other than that, I haven't seen a decent, I'd say a decent team, a team that you suddenly said, oh yeah, they're going to walk away with it, in a way in which someone like Wrexham in previous years obviously had the appropriate resources. So we've lost to teams who on the day were better than us and found a way to beat us. Notts County being away, being one, Chesterfield being one, Port Vale being another, the third. And that's frustrating. Walsall did a job, so to speak, but just as we did a job on Doncaster, you know? So I really don't see much in it, actually.
No, it's just frustrating, isn't it? I mean, I'm just trying to work out, it is those small differences, aren't they, that could, well, are going to be either the difference between maybe an automatic place and being in the playoffs, or being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs. It's those small things. So there's something that we're, I don't know, and obviously we've got still got that huge injury list, and I think what's going to be very interesting is how we get that some of those players who've been out injured back into the squad, and does he revert back to his normal style, which will go 5-3-2, or does he keep where we are now, 3-4-2?
We've got to stay with it. We've got to stay with the current setup. That is like working like a dream, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we've still technically got this game in hand against a bunch of teams. I don't know when we get to catch that game up, but it's going to be tight. I mean,
It is going to be tight, but I mean, like, you wouldn't. I mean, if he was fit, you'd have Joe Lewis in there, wouldn't you? And does Joe Lewis fit that system?
well, so long as he's practicing it,
You know,
yes.
particularly that system.
He's just got to practice. Just put him, like, just get him to
You know,
practice.
and Adam Reeves and Mark, what's your thoughts on the new players that have come in? You know, Hutchinson's come in. He seems to have done really well.
They're definitely better than
Like
Alan Reeves,
35.
I'll tell you that much. Alan Reeves was good for long range, 20-odd own goals. But I
Yeah, I
realise
know.
Alan Reeves and Jake Reeves is a long-standing joke of yours.
It's Reeves. It's a Reeves issue. I've got Reeves blindness.
Yeah, go for Jim Reeves, you know, 1950s crooner. Quality
Yeah.
stuff. So I interestingly enough, I saw Hutchinson for the first time from a totally different stance. I had four workmates who came to the Doncaster game. Old workmates, actually, previous work colleagues. And they'd come to a game before against, some of them came to Newport last year when we lost. A few of them came to Stockport a couple of years back when we won 1-0. And they really quickly picked up on Alistair Smith and Hutchinson as obviously the fulcrum to the team, which clearly they are at the moment in terms of that central midfield duo. To me, Hutchinson is totally different gravy, as the cliche goes. His touch, his ability, his vision, I guess, really, in that respect. Vision isn't usually a word that you associate with anyone in League Two, frankly. They're just, you know, hoof it here or hoof it there. But given that we are playing without, as we said before, you know, without the spine of our team, and obviously we found the formation based on the players we had fit, as opposed to the other way around, I'd say we're doing pretty well. Hutchinson's now played two games in a couple of weeks, which are the first two games he's played in over a year. He's still building up his fitness. He's still prone to lunging late tackles that most of us of a certain ilk, which obviously the same old Wombers are, absolutely love.
Yeah,
Especially
we
when he was
do
at Otter
love, but
Brookings and still went in for them against Doncaster.
we would love it. We would love it if he. I just. When's he going to get his first red? The Doncaster game, he got booked after 7 minutes. So I thought, this is it. This is how he's going to be remembered, for being sent off within 20
Yeah,
minutes.
that's true.
But he kept on going in for them, didn't he?
He did keep going for them, and he was getting them. So no, he seems great. I wouldn't be surprised if his contract's extended to the end of the year. But then, does the squad become too bloated when we start to get people back? It's
What? Yeah, we're never gonna have a bloated squad. Oh, my days.
well, you know, if you get what do we say? We've got 8 people out at the moment, so you get all of them back, you know, and you're talking Matt Haycock, Alan, Jake Reeves, Go, Lewis. Bart's
We
brother.
love Matt Haycock, who is a club shop manager, but whether or not he'll actually do a job in midfield, I'm not
Yep.
sure.
The other
Callum
one,
Maycock possibly could do, but I
Haycock.
believe he's out until mid-February. So,
Is he out till mid-February?
yeah, I think realistically, from what I've heard,
Insider news.
Reeves is about a week or so behind Sassi. So I'm hoping that we might see him over Christmas and New Year. Otherwise, everyone else, Hippolyte and Maycock and Lewis, and I'm sure I've missed someone else, James Ball as well. I think if we see them before the end of January, then we'll be doing very well, and we probably will owe the physio a large bonus.
See, this is when you say you haven't got any gossip for us, it's either gossip or good knowledge. But this is great. I mean, it's not great, obviously. So they're all out until the end, because I don't think that is anywhere, to be honest with you, where it says exactly how long people are out
Well,
for.
I don't think that knowledge is there, but that's based on the fact that we've signed two players on short-term
Yeah.
contracts that'll take you through to at least mid-January. By mid-January, I'm guessing he's hoping that both Sasu and Reeves are fit again.
Yeah, they've got to be.
Which Reeves?
And I'm guessing we can only afford to keep one out of Sawyers and Hutchinson, and that's pure guesswork.
Because people were talking, they thought Sawyers did quite well for when he was on for the last half an hour or so against Chesterfield, but.
I do like the way that, though, Mark has to say that this is all guesswork, and he's trying to prove that the Don's Trust board have nothing to do with the football side of things, when what we really know is that they are totally embedded in the football side of things and literally are probably behind Jackson. Go pick that player on the 92 minute.
Obviously,
Hold off on the
yes.
subs. Hold off on the subs. Put on Billa in the 90th minute. What could go wrong?
Exactly, nothing.
Yeah, strangely enough, the fact in itself is a clear indication of the fact that, well, I know you guys are joking, but that's not big and not clever. Almost as big and not clever as I did a little bit of analysis because we're going to do a little quiz later on.
Oh no, he's done analysis for the quiz.
Oh, right.
And I noticed that Billa played about 10 games in a row last season at right back. And even so, we were still relatively well placed just outside the playoffs.
Yeah, I like Huss, but I mean, he's got a lunge in him.
No, I like him as well.
He's got a lunge in
But he's just like, yeah, he takes people out,
He
unfortunately.
does.
But to answer your
Oh,
question,
dear.
it's squad depth. You know, a lot of people understandably, justifiably get frustrated with Jackson for not making substitutions and not putting three or four or five subs on in the way that you can and you're allowed to do within the modern laws.
Yeah.
The reality is, who do we have on the bench on Saturday? We had Billa, we had Sasu, we had
Boys.
Harbottle, and Ward, and they're probably the four senior players that we had available there. And obviously, Omar was suspended for a game, and the others we already mentioned that are going to be out for a considerable period of time. Sawyers again was on the bench, did come on, and the pedigree Sawyers and Hutchinson have is Championship. It's not even League One, so it's literally streets ahead where we were. You know, we remember seeing people like Barry Bannon play here for Sheffield Wednesday at certainly at Plough Lane, possibly even at King's Meadow as well. And seeing what pedigree he's got, you know, if you've got it and your legs haven't completely gone, then you can play at a lower level.
Yeah, it's they sound like great signings, and I wouldn't be surprised if we keep them all the way through to the end.
Hey, and I just want to say, like, I think Jackson is making some excellent choices. I think we are doing really well with the kind of things we've had to do, the subs we're making. I actually think all the decisions he's been making over the last few games have been excellent, personally.
Yeah. So then we come on to Swindon Boxing Day. And just so you know, a little bit of news from the club. There's the ticket sale relaunch is on for Boxing Day. So if you've got a ticket you're not going to get to the game, you can resell your ticket. That'll give you something to do between, I don't know, opening presents and turkey or whatever it is. Or you might do it the other way around. So you can do that. The shop itself is obviously closed now on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, part-timers. But opens again on Boxing Day at 11 o'clock. And the game itself, because I always get confused, this always seems to change the time of the Boxing Day games. I remember it was 12 for ages. It's 3 o'clock.
Used to be 12.
It's 3 o'clock, everyone, so don't get there at 12, by all means, because the Phoenix will be open and the clubs will be open. And there'll obviously be some sort of Boxing Day sale on where you can get all of the stuff that you paid double for half price. And that's the way it works. That's capitalism for you folks, and we won't go into that just yet. We'll save that for when Niall's back on, because he
The
loves a pop.
other bit of capitalism, of course, is having taken Sky Bet's money in the whole of the EFL League. We are now as prone to everybody else to having all our fixtures absolutely rogered, frankly, for want of a better expression. So what are we playing? Everyone else is playing on the 26th and the 28th or the 29th, and we're playing on the 30th, 8 o'clock at night, a home game to that well-known local neighbour, Gillingham. And then we're playing Newport County away on a Thursday night, have I got that right? Followed by Fleetwood, who've just sacked their manager, on a Sunday, I think.
All of that is correct. All of that is correct.
Only one of those three games, which I think is Fleetwood, is actually at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that's on the Sunday as well. Football should be played Tuesday afternoon. Football should be played Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Tuesday, 7:45. End of.
We know this. We know
That
this.
that's it.
It's so annoying. But we knew this was coming. We talked about it before the season kicked off, the fact that Sky was going to mess around with our schedule and the fact they don't give you the whole thing and they pick what's happening within X number of weeks or whatever. So the Monday 8 p.m. thing is just, why is it not 7:45? Like, how, what, they've got to have 15 minutes of,
Because they've got their neat schedules that start at 6 and then 7 and
how,
8 and
like,
whatever.
15 minutes of, what are they talking about for? Like, figure skating? Like, they could stop Sky Sports earlier by a quarter of an hour and just get on with it, you
They'd probably get a higher rating for figure skating than they would for Wimbledon and
know?
Gillingham, to be honest.
It is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? 8 o'clock on the Thursday. So I'm assuming other sides are playing on the first, yeah? As is proper. And then, anyhow, we're going to be games behind.
To answer your
But
question about being games behind, the game in hand we have is against Crewe, who obviously at the moment are a playoff rival.
So how are we squeezing that game in?
It's
That's
in
all.
February. Having been knocked out of every other cup competition does help,
Doesn't help the bank balance.
frankly, because it means that, I mean, January is pretty mad. January, we've got a game on the 2nd, the 5th, the 11th, the 18th, the 25th, and the 28th. As if that's not bad enough. February 1st, 8th, 11th, 15th, 22nd. So Crewe on the 11th of February is that catch-up game.
Jackson did say that having that break this last week is a big deal because of the fact they're going to end up going into so many fixtures in January and February. Whether it's a big enough break, I don't know.
Yeah, and that January schedule looks absolutely horrible, frankly.
Yeah, it's not. I
And there's
know.
only two home games in that run of fixtures. Newport away, Fleetwood away, Cheltenham and Tranmere home, Franchise away, and Crewe away. There's some long trips there. Fair play to anyone going to Crewe on the 28th of January. Midweek.
I just think it is ridiculous, isn't it? All this. Do you know what I'd like to see us though? I'd like to see us win a home game, then an away game. That'd be quite nice. It feels like we could only do well at home, like we did earlier on in the season. We were pants away. Then we started doing really well away and pants at home. It would be quite nice, wouldn't it, if there could be some way where we could actually do well both home and away.
It'd be quite nice to have 2 weeks of feeling happy, yeah.
Go into a game like
I
Swindon, who are erratic and in the bottom
know.
six,
Ugh.
and think, you know what, that should be a home banker, and actually be able to say that with a relative amount of confidence. Swindon sound like they were basket case on the pitch and off the pitch, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, I love playing those sort of sides, Mark. That's great.
I've been to Swindon 2 years in a row, and we lost 2 years in a row. So, frankly, we owe them one.
Brilliant. And we owe them one. Great. This is exactly it. It's like the Chester.
This is ratcheting up to the
I'm
insanity
a
when we
football
get
fan. I'm not trying
smashed
to
like
be
2-0.
rational.
Oh, dear me. Anyhow, so we got the we I mean we got this ridiculous run of fixtures. And I guess that's when we'll be using the squad to its maximum. Hopefully, we'll have it'd be good to have a few players back. One of the Reeves, for instance, would be quite nice. Jake, Alan, which one, whichever one, be quite nice to have one of them back for that.
Steve.
Jim.
If it's Christopher Reeves, we're laughing. Superman is coming to sort us
I
out.
hope not. Sadly, A, he was paralyzed, and B, he's passed away.
Other than that, though,
That would be a great target man up front.
right, then. So what? No, I need to know. We're coming up to it. They're coming up to the big day. What are your plans? Are you kind of like just getting through it and get me to Boxing Day? Because I think the Boxing Day fixture is the big thing. Obviously, Adam, you can't make it because they're not doing the Boxing Day specials anymore. You know, we obviously need to.
Yeah, so I've allowed Niall to use my tickets under the pretense that he says that he is 90% sure that his tickets will be given to people, because as we talked about in the last episode, I think if you can resell them, which you now can, I think everyone is able to be able to do that pretty easily, that it'd be great for local people who maybe haven't had an opportunity to go. So yeah, I'm going to be doing very little. Will I attempt to stream it on Boxing Day? I don't know. Maybe, you know,
And the
but.
big day
Yeah.
itself, you got much?
No, I'm doing nothing.
And Mark and Adam, I need to ask you this, right? Because I think we get to a certain age now, all right? And I think we are probably the most difficult people to buy for. I'm incredible. I have a shitty list. I mean, I've got no idea what I get. So generally speaking, everything I get for Christmas these days has got a Wimbledon badge on it. My birthday, I've got a lovely Wimbledon coat, the black lovely black coat with the Wimbledon badge on it. I got some lovely yellow and blue shoes. I'm expecting more Wimbledon based stuff because that's all people can get for me these days. And I'm looking at your background, Adam. What on earth can people get for you?
They're already buying me random
You've
Wimbledon
got you've
things.
virtually got a club. You've actually live in a club shop.
Yeah, I know, I know. I've kind of promised myself that I won't go mad in the January sale, so I need to be slightly careful. Yeah, I actually weirdly the only thing I actually would like at the moment is some proper like hardcore like oven gloves that are like proper gloves.
That is
I'm
such an
sorry,
old
that's
man's thing.
not that.
That is what I need. That is what I need. I'm getting sick of like occasion, and but the ones I've been looking at, so you can like stick your hand into a barbecue, and you know, pick, I don't know, pick a pig out of the center of the barbecue without it burning you in any capacity.
This is why
I
people tune
only
into the Same Old Wombles podcast to listen to the type of oven gloves Adam has to actually order.
the only ones I want is just so that I don't accidentally like you know burn my wrist as I'm getting like a small tray out of the oven, you know. So that is actually on my list.
You want something you can so you can get a pit out of a fire pit, which is interesting because you're vegan. Mark, what about you? I'm assuming more. I just have a sense that you've obviously got virtually the club shop yourself. What on earth are people going to be getting you? What's on your
Well,
Christmas list?
looking at for the benefit of the podcast listener or three, Adam already has hanging up in his man cave a goalkeeper shirt from this season,
Yep.
the home shirt from a couple of seasons ago, which makes me think of Chislett not tackling back, the sheep shirt from last season, and a walkout jacket from 88. Whereas I haven't actually had a home shirt for a while, I think I've got the 89-90 shirt that they did a reissue of on the old Christmas list, mainly because it's the one kit I think I've never had since I started buying kits or having kits bought for me some point in the 80s. Because that was the couple of years when I was living overseas in Germany, so and you couldn't, you know, the internet didn't exist and everything else. Well, when dinosaurs were back roaming the earth. Other than that, no beer, sweets, chocolate, nothing very exciting.
Yeah, I know it's exactly it. It feels like we have a secret Santa now in our family. You know, that's the way we do it. So, and I just always
What,
think
because you're
people
too
must just
cheap
put
to
their
buy
head in their
your own
hands.
brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts presents?
Between just our family, we'll have a little secret Santa thing. And I think when it turns up and when someone gets my name, they just go, "Oh, for sake, not him. What's he going to want? It's some ridiculous." And I don't get the tops, but I get the clothes. You know, I'll have a jumper or a something like that, a t-shirt. I've got all the t-shirts. I mean, that's just, it's absolutely
Well,
ridiculous.
it's funny you should say that because I've got suckered into buying obviously a woolly hat and a jump and a scarf recently, which are pretty obviously Wimbledon ones. Not as obvious some of the older school ones. And I was like, "Where's that other scarf gone?" I went, "Oh, I just grabbed that blue one." And of course, I grabbed the knitted blue one, and then realized, yeah, of course, on the bottom there's another sewn-in Wimbledon patch. I'm like, "Oh yeah, every single blue-looking scarf is definitely in some capacity a Wimbledon one." Yeah, and I mean, you guys can't even see the other three shirts that are in this part of the office.
But look, as you said before, Adam, we like the shirts. The quality of the merchandise is good, and actually, obviously, by making those investments and giving ourselves, shirts, hats, scarves, gloves, whatever else to wear, A, that's beneficial for us, and B, it's also beneficial for the club. So, more power to their elbow, as they say.
Yeah, I just kind of feel we discounts. Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. We should get podcast discounts. And I did feel bad because on Amazon I did buy a pair of blue gloves and a pair of yellow gloves so that I can have a blue hand and a yellow hand. You guys may not have noticed yet, but that is what I've been fashioning for the last few
That's
games.
you have to remember, there's nothing official about this podcast whatsoever. So therefore, any kind of discount goes out the window. Just because we happen to know the blue
Oh,
one's a club shop,
so
so does about 10,000 other fans.
I don't know. I don't know, Mark. I don't want to get down this thing. I'm pretty sure we're a certain percentage, official. I can't work it out
Not
because
point naught 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 one. Yeah.
I think the fact you've been on the DTB, that's probably where it becomes where we're slightly official, I think.
Except we're not, and
And
I know it's like a standing joke, but it does kind of wind me up because,
oh no, don't
funny.
go down that. Don't you get wound up by this.
I like the fact that Mark was wound up by it.
I don't get wound up by much as a Wimbledon fan. Apart from apart from people obviously trying to make the quick jibe about somebody from Buckinghamshire. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, I was on the Dorsos board, so was Niall before us, because we wanted to be, because we put ourselves up and we got elected, end of story.
Yeah.
So we know people who are on there, so do other people, so do lots of other people who run
Well,
podcasts,
I
so do
know,
hundreds of thousands of fans who don't run podcasts.
I know, Mark, I know, and that's what's my.
But no, I think that's a, I don't know how to put it in another way, but I think it's really, really important actually we realise that we don't have any other position than anyone, any other fans. All the fans have a say. That's the whole point of Wimbledon. And yes, you've got the Don's Trust board to represent those people, but you should be able to go up and talk to all those individuals and have your say. And, yeah, we make a bit of a joke of it because it's kind of silly that people go, "Oh, well, you know these people." We have no influence whatsoever. And as Don's Trust members who we might know, etc., it doesn't change how they listen to every fan. So I think that's a big part of it. There's been a bunch of jokes and stuff about cliches and whatever, and I think and cliques and those kind of things. I think every member who has just been elected to Don's Trust board is standing on their manifesto, but also standing to listen to every single fan, and they shouldn't be, and I'm confident they won't be listening to some fans louder than others, and I hope that continues. And I think yeah, and I kind of understand why Mark gets a bit riled by that, because the board, I think, do good things. They try and make some good decisions. They have confidential stuff they can't work with, and they are just fans, and they do listen, and I'm pretty confident they will continue to listen. So
Well
Yeah,
said, my friend.
I agree with you. Listen, we've got a brilliant board. I don't think everyone can fulfill the stuff in their manifestos. I just think that's not possible because you have to
That's
be
called
as one
life.
big. You've got to work together. You've got to, yeah. There's politics involved. So, but we are slightly official. That's the way I'm working it. That's our thing. Also, I'm realizing that out of all the multitude of podcasts, I think that. We're, I can't remember if we're fourth or fifth on the list of there being three podcasts. I can't work out where we are, but we're working on it. We're working on it. We'll see if we can get even lower numbers.
To be fair, we
But
are higher. We are much more regularly appearing, says the man who's just appeared for the first time in 18 months. But in terms of when we actually produce new podcasts, that's much more regular than the correct official hosted by lovely Mr. Aaron Paul, soon to take over the BBC London Radio breakfast show. Paul.
this is another bit of an exclusive. I love this is exciting.
That's
I
not
have
an
no
exclusive at all. It
news.
was on
There's
social media
nothing I
about a
can
week
tell
ago.
you. And now, boom, 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 all these things, this little drop, bang. Now, this is the exciting part of the show. We're coming towards the end. I'm very excited by this because it's been a long time. It's been 18 months. And you'll know if you go back that time, Mark used to produce this beautiful quiz for us, which Adam loved to pieces. So I am very excited to be introducing Mark. What is the quiz? What's going on?
All right, so the quiz used to be the thing that Adam hated, so it's not going to be there. It used to be just with some random numbers, and Adam can never work out what the numbers relate to. So this one is a little bit less obscure. This basically is the 12 months of AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, he started. Honestly, Mark, you've started again by the fact that you're making it that I can actually answer any of this quiz. It's unbelievable.
I believe even you, Adam, should be able to get one or two of these.
Oh dear, you'd
So
be
basically,
surprised.
we're coming towards the end of 2024. We're probably going to have one more edition before the end of the year. But for now, I have taken the 12 months of 2024 and I've got two questions based on every month of this year. And it relates to games that have been played or things that have happened about the club, around the club, which are public knowledge, general knowledge that people should know of. So it's pretty simple because there's only two of you. If you know the answer, just shout your own name out. Not the answer, but just shout your own name. So Adam or Matt, as opposed to anything else. And then you can answer. And you get 1 point per question, and then we'll obviously work out at the end how many points
There's
anyone gets.
nothing that needs to be worked out. Matt has won.
There are 24 points you can possibly score. All right. So,
Okay.
question number one, starting way back in January.
No idea.
Who scored his last ever goal for AFC Wimbledon on New Year's Day at Forest Green Rovers? I heard Matt first.
How many?
Correct. 1 point for Matt. In the same game, which future Wimbledon striker scored for Forest Green?
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
Matty Stevens.
Correct. Come
Oh,
on, Adam, wake
flipping
up.
heck.
Right. Question three. Which record Wimbledon signing made his debut away at Bradford on the 3rd of February?
Record Wimbledon signing. Oh.
Oh, it's going to be one of those youngsters.
You don't spend money on many people, boys.
No, I know. But we have to remember the names of players, don't we?
Yeah, that's usually helpful. Okay, you're not
See,
going to get it that easy.
that's half the problem of this quiz.
The answer is Josh Kelly.
Oh, sugar.
Right, question four. Which former Portsmouth player scored his first Dons goal in our only win in February, 2-0 against Barrow on the 10th of Feb?
Oh, Portsmouth, that's got to be. Oh, is it all going to be about players, Mark? Because we're
Oh,
going
it's
to
not
really
all going to be about
show.
players. It's not all about players.
It's not Billair. Who's Portsmouth?
Is that an answer?
Yeah, go on.
No, it's not Biller because he came through our U team. All right, Matt, you can steal this one.
He's frozen. This is
Matt's
right.
frozen. It's the only way Adam can get can get answers because Matt's frozen. Ronan Curtis.
Oh, of course it was Curtis. For
Okay.
goodness sake, I was yeah. Of course it was Curtis. I knew. I should have known that.
I killed the internet so Adam could win. I
Okay.
wanted to give him points.
So the answer to that one was Ronan Curtis. Did you get the question, Matt? You didn't know the
Is it
answer
about
anyway. You can tell from your
the
face.
four Portsmouth player?
Correct. It was Ronan Curtis. All right.
Okay. It wasn't Lee Brown then.
It wasn't Lee Brown, no. That was the point. There were guess you can guess out two. All right. Question five. How many games did Omar Bogle miss while away on Asia Cup duty in February, March? January, February, March. Adam, wrong answer. Matt,
Matt, four.
six.
Like four, but six.
All right, question six. Which important off-field signing did Wimbledon make on the 11th of March?
What year? This year. Oh, sorry, yeah.
This year, it's all about this year.
Eleven.
You know the bit where I say January, then February, then March? Well, it's this year.
Off field.
So who
That could
joined the club
be.
on the 11th of March?
Oh, and the new
Yeah,
managing
it could
director,
be.
James Woodruff, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Correct. One for Adam.
Mass.
You got to do it right. Jack Woodruff.
All right. Question seven.
Adam didn't say his name.
He did say his name. Stop it, you're still winning. Question seven. Who missed a penalty in our 1-0 defeat at the eventual champions Stockport in early April?
Oh, flipping heck, I do know.
Matt,
Matt.
James Tilley.
James Tilley is the right answer. Powder puff penalty.
Clearly been
Okay.
on it because we swapped the same penalty takers last season.
I know. But Tilley scored a few, and there, Tilley
Yeah.
scored Chelsea, didn't he? So that was an easy question. I didn't put that one in. All right. Who scored a hat trick on the last day last season against Swindon?
Matt,
Yes, Matt.
I'm going for Josh Kelly.
Incorrect.
Who scored a hat trick? I can't think of many players who scored a hat trick at the end of last season. They must have left.
How many strikers have we got?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, guess
Bugle,
then.
bugle.
Correct.
Yes.
Awesome.
Woohoo!
Anyone think you guys don't come to games? Right.
Don't
Question
remember things.
nine.
Ask us a question from the 80s.
No, it's this season. Right, we're now into May, all right? We're now into May. Who was our
No, like
first pre-season
let's just
signing
wait.
for this season?
I'm so sorry, say that again, Mark.
Who was our first pre-season, close season signing for this season?
I need to look at the squad to even know who's blooming in the team. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm just getting the list
Broadly
of
Sale super
players out.
fans. Is
The
he
last
cheating? He's
two, last
cheating.
couple of. I normally have them pinned up on the wall.
Exactly.
Come on.
Who was the first person we signed?
Correct.
Yeah.
Piggott?
Matt, I'm going Hippolyte.
Wrong on both accounts. It was Matt Stevens. Right, question 10. Which player signed on the 28th of May from Stockport?
A Stockport player, a Proctor. I don't know.
One of you may have just mentioned him.
Yeah, I was going to say it was Hippolyte. Yeah.
Correct, Matt.
Why?
Right. So
Oh, I
these are
feel so sorry for Mark. I really
two
do.
and one. Two and one. I thought these were really relatively easy questions,
They
but
really are easy. There are
11 and
people banging
12.
their heads on the tables going, these do not support Wimbledon. These.
Absolutely. Question 11 and question 12, two together. Armani Little and Josh Davison both released at the end of last season, or their contracts ran out, or however you want to phrase it. Which clubs did they sign for in League Two?
So, what were the players again? I missed.
Armani Little and Josh Davison.
Oh, Davison's.
Josh Davison signed for Matt. Josh Davison signed for Tranmere.
Correct, Matt, for one.
Armani Little.
I mean, the other problem is you actually have to know who is in our league. Yeah.
Yeah, or follow our league.
Gillingham. Gillingham.
Gillingham is the correct answer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right, after 12 questions, so we're halfway through, pot pickers. Matt has six and Adam has two.
I've got
Dun,
two. That's
dun,
pretty
dun. You've got
good.
two. Right.
Yeah.
Now we're into July. So, 13. Which former player rejoined the Dons on loan on the 11th of July?
Adam Piggott.
Yes, correct. See, when you know, you know.
His favorite player.
Question 14. Loney James Furlong joined on the 30th of July from Hull. And he is an under-21 international for which country?
Oh, who? Sorry?
Matt,
Yes, Matt.
Ireland,
Republic of Ireland,
Ireland.
correct. 15. Who do we play twice in the first three games of this season?
Matt Bromley.
Correct.
So I played in the league
16.
and the
Who scored
cup.
the first our first league goal this season against Colchester?
So Jackson. Oh, I'm rubbish with these. Well, I've got to guess. I'm going to guess
Adam Stevens?
Matty Stevens.
You're
Adam
both
Stevens.
wrong. Ah! Both guess Matty Stevens, and you're both wrong. James Ball.
Oh.
17. Who scored his first ever Wimbledon goal against the team from Buckinghamshire? And then scored his second ever goal in the same game.
Adam, I don't care, and I can't remember, but whatever.
Matt, wasn't it Matty Stevens?
No, because we're in September by now.
We're in September now. He scored lots of goals by then. He scored two
It was his
goals.
first ever goal. But I can't remember who it is, and I wasn't, yeah, it was against them, so.
The answer was Callum Maycock.
Oh, yes.
All right, 18. We only played two league games in September.
Yep.
How many goals did we concede?
Adam, three.
Incorrect. Matt?
Think we're higher, aren't we? Higher than three, five.
We only played two games. We beat Franchise 3-0 and we drew 0-0 with Bradford, so the answer is zero.
Yep, that's what I meant. I got it round the wrong way. How many
Right.
goals did we win? How many goals did we score? Five. Yeah,
Well,
that's how I
that's
got
wrong
that
as well, because we only scored
wrong.
three. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Something happened in October and there was a little golf course on our pitch for a while.
Yes.
How many litres of water were pumped off the pitch?
Adam, I think it was like 150,000 litres. Matt,
Yeah, it
any
was
other guess?
100,000.
It was
100,000.
100,000. All right. Question 20.
It's
How many
exciting,
days were
this.
there between the home games, in September and October because of the flood? I'll give you like five either way.
Okay, Adam. I mean, yeah, this was fantastic because we were so quick at turning it around. I thought it was going to be longer, so I'm going to say 16,
Matt?
which might be too long, actually.
25.
Very close, Matt. It's 28. I'll give it to Matt.
Well, it was quick, whatever it
Yeah.
was.
14th of September to the 12th of October. Okay, I didn't see this game. I went to rugby instead this day. Who's inflicted our first home defeat at Plough Lane on the 9th of November?
No, I would know because he's.
Think this is where Niall
First
first
home.
started, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the yeah. Where did it? Was it Walsall? Matt Walsall.
It was before Walsall. No, it was not Walsall. Who we lost at home to this season, apart from Walsall?
I don't know. Why are you asking these kind of questions?
Try and get my
Not like you watch the games or anything, you know. Grimsby Town.
I try and get these things out of my head, to be honest with
All right,
you,
you've
because I
only
think.
got three more, and I'd love to say that Adam could catch up, but I'd be lying. So, which former Loney player got himself sent off whilst playing for that team in Buckinghamshire in the FA Cup first round?
Adam
Yes, Adam.
Lemonhead, whatever his name
Correct.
is.
Lemon Hay Evans. All right, and talking of former players, which former Wimbledon player scored a last kick of the game equalising penalty for Newport relatively recently at Plough Lane? After that well-advised Hospital challenge.
What's his flipping name?
I normally remember the players of ours that score against us, but no, I don't know.
Mark, it's depressing. I can't remember his name. I think this is more to do with age. Can I just say, listeners, this is an age thing that we are very good at the 80s, but recent memory. I'm sure that's a thing, isn't it?
So
We've
this
got
happened about
something.
3 weeks ago, so yeah, it's definitely an issue.
Exactly.
Sean McLaughlin's
Far
out.
too recent. Who?
Sean McLaughlin. Well, possibly Shane McLaughlin, actually, but you know. Okay, final question. Final
Yeah,
question.
I'm excited.
We currently have 33 points after 20 games. So at Christmas, that's the Christmas scenario, Christmas situation. We're in the playoffs, which is good so far. After 20 games last year, how many points do we have?
Okay, so hang on, we've got 33 now, yeah?
We've got 33 now, we're in the playoffs. Christmas last year, we were outside the playoffs. But after 20 games last year, how many points do we have?
Adam, 21.
Matt, 28.
I'm giving it to Adam because the answer is no, it's not. It's 31. So actually, I have to give it to Matt. Sorry.
Yeah, because I was right, because I was close.
You
So
are
we're literally
closer.
only 2 points better off. We're 2 points better off this season than last.
Exactly. After all that hullabaloo,
But
we
how
had
many
enough
games
points
have we
there left.
played? How many games have we
No,
played? I wonder if we
that's
played
like
the
for
same
like 20
game.
games.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Really? 20 games? So we're just 2 points better off. Okay. Would that have put us in the playoffs?
No.
No, that's what,
But
yeah.
that shows you, that's what I'm saying about the quality of the league or the lack of quality of the league.
Wow.
So the grand total of that, and I'm sure the listening at home would have scored far more than both of you.
Yeah.
Adam has a grand total of 4 points
Yes.
out of
Yeah.
24 points.
Get in.
And Matt's done rather better with 11 points. Congratulations.
But I'm still, I apologize, dear listener, because we really should, we are pants when it comes to remembering things. I always like
I was
sitting
going to say
next
it's
to people.
fine because what I'm basically going to make it that it's a quiz that Mark has given to our listeners, and I'm just going to chop out the fact that we have no idea what the answers were. It's going to take me a few days. This episode might come out in a few weeks.
Would you like me to read out the answers and then you can chop out everything else and then we can just
No,
do the answers
no.
instead?
We'll put the answers up. We'll put the answers up on our site after the, so people can't to do it play. And then put the answers up.
You want
And
people
then
to actually
people can
listen
put
to
the
it, so you
answers.
don't want to put the answers up, really. But
No, we'll put them up a week after. We'll put them on next. So for everyone who was actually listening and really wants to play a quiz about Wimbledon and realizes that we can't remember what happened yesterday, let alone tomorrow, whatever, there's literally 11 people running around kicking a ball. That's
can't
what I
remember what
love.
happened tomorrow. We can't remember
If
tomorrow, Adam,
we could
Matt,
remember what happened
and
tomorrow,
that's
then
our
we'd be
favorite.
in that Tom Cruise film, wouldn't we? Minority Report.
So we will put the well, we will put the answers to the quiz the on the following week's episode, so that people get a chance on the 30th. So they can have a week to figure it out.
This has been fantastic. It's beautiful to have you back, my friend. The next episode, we are looking to try and do something crazy. We'll see if it's going to work. But join us hopefully for our next show, which we're looking to record on the 30th. That's right, before the Gillingham game. We'll see how it's going to work. My friends, have the most wonderful Christmas. Big thanks to the producer, Adam Proctor, and to our returnee, Mark Lewis. Oh, it's so beautiful to have you back. I'm Matt Cooper. We're the Save Our Wombles, and we're wishing you all very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody!